Today's message is going to be a little different. Some of you are thinking, oh, well, Brother Martin, they're all kind of... Mark chapter 6. I look at verse 1. It's speaking here about Jesus. It says that he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. They were offended at him. You know, we sit and we think, well, that wasn't very nice. That's the way it was. They were offended at him. Why were they offended at him? Well, because they just didn't get it. Now, I think most all of us, or really even most all Christians, would probably agree that we need to be like Jesus. That we need to follow in his footsteps. That we need to follow his pattern. That Jesus is our role model. And therefore, we've got to be like Jesus. Well, if that's true, then you know what? We need to offend people. And so, today's sermon is entitled, How to Be an Irritating Christian. And I'm going to share with you 9 ways to really irritate the stink out of people. I kept that clean, didn't I? Now we're going to start back in Proverbs. Some of you just now got that. What? Oh, okay. Proverbs. That's in the Old Testament. Proverbs. You can go ahead and turn over there. Proverbs chapter 11. Yeah, we're only going to keep it at 9 ways to be an irritating Christian. There are a lot of other ways, but this will be enough. This will get you started. So, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Chapter 17, Proverbs 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. How to be an irritating Christian. Number one, refuse to engage in gossip. Refuse to engage in gossip. Many Christians seem to find that very difficult. But when you're around it, silence can be a powerful weapon against a wagging tongue. When people around you begin gossiping, and you've been there and guaranteed you're going to be around people like that again. When they begin gossiping, tale-bearing, as we've seen, and you just sit and don't say a word. That has a major impact. because they're expecting you to join in and share what you know and agree with what they've just said. But when you just sit there and look at them, they begin to get uncomfortable. They begin to get irritated. And they don't know why you aren't joining in stabbing these people in the back. Scripture has made it very clear in these passages that we've read. Let me just paraphrase them. Keep your mouth shut. Do not repeat a matter. Now, there is a little bit of an addendum to this, and that is some Christians take this to the extreme. For example, if you know somebody is stealing from me and you don't tell me, I will be upset at them and you, and more at you than them, because I'm going to assume they're just really messed up. But I'm going to assume you are even more messed up. Because if you knew somebody was stealing, if you knew I knew somebody was stealing from you, wouldn't you want me to tell you? Is that gossip? No, that's not gossip. That's not at all gossip. Too many Christians do not understand the difference between gossip and dealing with a problem. Too many Christians wimp out when it comes to addressing what needs to be addressed. And I can tell you this, over the years that I've been a pastor, there are times when people should have come to me and they didn't, and a problem existed and got worse. Well, you know, Pastor, I didn't want to come. Wait a second. Is this something that can have an impact on this ministry? And you're not telling me? Do you not understand I am the shepherd of this flock? And if there is a sheep spreading an infection, you need to let me know. If there's an issue, and see, if you come to me with a sincere heart of concern, that's a whole lot different than going to everybody and their brother and telling them, do you know what's going on? Here's a key. Pray. Father, I'm aware of a situation. What should I do? How should I handle this? Do I need to speak to Pastor Jim? Now, I'm not asking you to come and tell me about every little thing that goes, well, my neighbor, I can't stand. I mean, I'm telling too bad for you. I'm not going to your neighbor's house. Just put a for sale sign in their front yard and see what happens. Pray and find out. God will give you the wisdom on what you're supposed to do. And if you do need to come and talk to me about something, you come and talk to me. It's okay. Because I'll guarantee you this, I won't be repeating it. Kathy and I have had more than one interesting discussion about how come you didn't tell me? It's like, well, because I just don't tell things. And anyway, you've got to refrain from gossip. It is a poison that infects people. I had someone not too long ago identify certain preachers by name. If I gave you their name, some of you would say, oh yeah, I know. And they asked me for my opinion. I said, well, do you know them? And yeah, I know them. Well, what's your opinion? I said, well, you know, I don't typically give my opinion. I just say I don't listen to them. And leave it at that. Now, I didn't say why I don't listen to them. I just said I don't listen to them. A lot of it has to do with time. But then, in some cases, there are certain preachers I'm not listening to. I'm just not. So maybe this person went to God and said, Father, why isn't he listening to these preachers? And then I'm sure God's going to help that person understand. But when you become a talebearer, you're opening the door for some real problems. Integrity, let me say it this way. A lack of integrity is a real serious problem in the body of Christ. A serious problem. People have a very difficult time keeping their word. But nevertheless, number one, if you want to be an irritating Christian, refuse to engage in gossip. All right, now, turn over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I always get a kick out of when I'm around folks and they say, well, you know what, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but... Excuse me. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, just here briefly, that word accursed, it literally means that person will be completely shut off from God for all eternity. Translation, they spend eternity in the lake of fire. And what leads them into that lake of fire? Preaching a gospel that did not originate from God. I've got news for you. There are preachers out there now, they're going to be burning for all eternity. And they've got a packed church right now. Yes, and they're telling people about Jesus. But it's a gospel that did not come from God. And in verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. How to be an irritating Christian. Number two, refuse to agree with wrong doctrine. Refuse to agree with wrong doctrine. And there are a lot of times when let me say it like this. It's very possible that some Christians would kind of smile and nod their head and kind of go along with something that's absolutely wrong that somebody else is sharing with them. And they do it because, they want to be nice. And yet we see right here in Scripture the Apostle Paul saying, do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. If you go along with wrong doctrine, you're seeking to please men, and by definition here, you are no longer a genuine servant of Jesus Christ. You're not. Guys, let me kind of clue you in on something. Christians really do not understand, some do. But I personally believe most Christians, my experience, most Christians do not know what it means to truly stand up for truth. They just don't. Because they want to be nice. Well, we're not talking about being nice. We're talking about being an irritating Christian. And as Christians, we need to be a little more irritating. And if you want to be an irritating Christian, number two, refuse to go along or agree with wrong doctrine. Refuse. Refuse. Why don't you listen to preacher so-and-so? Well, because his doctrine is really messed up too often. What? How can you say that? Because it's true. His doctrine's messed up. Now, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to sow that filth into my life. I just don't want to. How can you call it filth? If God's not in agreement with it, what is it then? Dung. Dung. Isaiah 28. It's dung. It's filth. Why would I want to feast on that? Well, I don't. So, I'll be an irritating Christian and refuse to agree with wrong doctrine. Well, that leads us to this next one. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I mean, this is describing maturing into the fullness of Christ, being His reflection. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. If you want to be an irritating Christian, number three, when asked about spiritual matters or asked for your opinion on such things, always speak God's word. Always speak God's word. Always speak God's word. You should never, capital N-E-V-E-R, never, ever, ever, ever have an opinion when it comes to Scripture. Never. Hear me out now. Never. Never. You should never use that word. Ever. You should never have an opinion when it comes to Scripture, because an opinion indicates a lack of the knowledge of truth. Well, in my opinion, okay, you just told me you don't know. And now you've opened the door for everybody else to give their opinion. This is why, when I was teaching when I've taught in colleges, I would not receive questions in class. Because, in fact, I was talking to somebody here the other day, here a while back about this. They want to become a professor at a Christian university, and I said, all right, well, I'm going to give you a heads up. I said, don't ever, 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 ever open the floor for questions. Don't ever receive questions. And he looked at me and said, well, oh, why not? Because I explained to him how I've taught in the past and so on and so forth. And I said, well, here's why. When you're teaching physics, you're teaching something to people they've never heard before, that they don't know. When you are teaching biology or medicine or whatever, you're teaching people things that they don't know. But when you start teaching, quote, theology, nearly all of your students have some kind of a church background, and so everybody in the classroom has an idea, an opinion, a thought about Scripture, about God, about what He does. And the moment that you receive a question in class is the moment you have opened the door for everybody in the class to give their thoughts. Well, in my church, well, I've always heard, well, I've always believed, well, I've always heard it taught. And you know what? That's it. Class is over. Class is over, because now everybody in the classroom has elevated themselves to the position of professor. And they are convinced they are right. And they're wanting to impose that opinion on everyone in the classroom. I did that one time when I was teaching at a university. I did it one time. There were, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 students in the classroom. I let a question come forth, and I did this as an object lesson. And a person asked a question, and so I began dealing with, well, sure enough, man, everybody, you know, well, yeah, but, well, yeah, but according to, and yeah, but I think, well, you know, I've always, well, we've always believed, blah, 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 blah. And I just stood there and watched, and that was it. Class was over. That was it. And so we had our break, came back in for the next class session, and I said, you guys see what happened a little bit ago? This is why I don't take questions. Because we lost that entire, the second half of that entire class session, we lost it. And now I'm going to have to rush to get through all the material for the rest of the night. And they all kind of sat there, yeah, okay, yeah, I get it now, I get it now. I just never do that, never. Opinions, you know, I've shared this before, opinions are like armpits. Everybody has a couple and they usually stink. When you're asked for your opinion, you should never give an opinion. I've had people ask me about, you know, what's your opinion about? And I just tell them, well, I don't have an opinion. Here's what the Word says. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what God has said in His Word. Most Christians don't know how to handle that. Because when you come at them, come back, you just answer without an opinion. But there are too many, and I'm not going to I'm not casting stones or anything, but there are some people, I mean, maybe they're in this room right now. Too many times when you are asked questions, ask for your opinion, well, what are your thoughts on the matter? Well, my opinion, well, you know, my thoughts, that's how you respond. And what you're saying is you really do not know. You don't know. You do not know truth. When you know truth, you respond with truth. You don't have an opinion. You seriously don't have an opinion. The Word of God is your standard. That's it. So if you want to be an irritating Christian, never have an opinion. Never. When asked about spiritual matters or your opinion or thoughts, you always give the Word of God. Always. And that leads into the next one. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. There are some Christians, I'm telling you, they're going to get really, really irritated with you because you won't give an opinion. I had a conversation with somebody here not too long ago, and I could tell that they had been greatly influenced by teachers they should not have listened to. Well, thankfully, this person is teachable. And as I was sharing in response to their concerns, their questions, their statements, I kept going back to the Word, and I could see how the wheels were turning in this person's mind. And they were beginning to see something and understand things from a way they never had before. Well, again, this kind of leads into this next one, this fourth one. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus, talking about Jesus, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Verse 10, then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." If you want to be an irritating Christian, number 4, refuse to argue or debate. Respond only with the Word of God. Yes. Refuse to argue or debate. And I just, again, hope nobody gets offended, really. But there's some of you in here, you need to pay attention to this. Because as I have observed your conversations with other people, you're too quick to share your thoughts. You're not quick enough to share the Word of God. It's just like the conversation that I had with this person that I'm speaking of here a moment ago. They were asking about a particular subject. I don't want to go into a lot of detail. They were asking about a particular subject, and I was responding and sharing, you know, well, you know, the Bible, the Word, and so forth. Well, they came back with, "Yes, but the Bible says," and they referenced a particular verse. And I responded and said, "That's true. However, you need to live that verse in the context of the passage. And relative to that verse, here's what it's saying. And that, because of it being in context, makes it impossible to use the way that you've been using it." Well, again, thankfully, that person was teachable. But refuse to argue or debate. I can remember one time, I know some of you guys heard these stories over and over again, but for some people, this is the only sermon they'll ever hear of me. There was a guy that was talking about a particular subject. And he was saying, "Well, you know, blah, blah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." And I said, "Yeah, well, yeah, but, you know, the Bible says such and such and thus." "Well, yeah, but," and I said, "Well, yeah, but the Bible says blah, blah, et cetera." He says, "Yeah," he said, "however, you know, kind of walla, 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 walla." And I said, "Well, yeah, but according to the Bible, such and such." And then he looked at me and he said, "Well, you know what, I guess we're just going to have to wait till we get to heaven to find out which of us is right." And I let it go. Because I could see, with all due respect, I was talking to a fool.
Jesus said, "Don't call nobody a fool."
I can if I do it the Proverbs way. Yeah. If I can identify a fool according to the standard of Proverbs, then bless God, you're a fool. And the Bible says when you're talking to a fool, just, you know, when you figure out you're talking to a fool, just shut up. Because you ain't going nowhere in that conversation. And I figured out real quickly, I ain't going nowhere in this conversation. Because I am speaking the Word of God. And this person was just, you know, sharing information. And, you know, well, I guess we'll have to wait till we get to heaven to find out who's right. What I could have said is, I'm right and you're stupid. I didn't say that, but I think I might have been thinking that at the time. I was right. I was absolutely, positively, 100% right. And the reason I was right was because I was presenting Scripture given to us by God. I was presenting Scripture relative to the subject he addressed, and he was refusing it. Totally refusing it. It's like, well, okay, fine. You know, I can't say anything else. Hey, you know what? If you're not going to accept the Word of God, what are you going to accept? Remember what Jesus said about building your house on the sand or the rock?
Yes, sir.
Well, you got a bunch of Christians that are building houses on sand. And it's not going to hold up. All right, the next one. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I tell you, if you apply all these things to your life, you're going to really upset a bunch of people. And God's going to be so proud of you. Do you think God was upset because Jesus offended people with his ministry? Not at all. How do you know that, Brother Martin? Because Jesus said, I came to do the will of him that sent me. And by doing the will of God, people got offended. Well, that's their problem. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. How to be an irritating Christian, number 5. Refuse to criticize government leaders. Instead, speak about them with God's love. Well, listen, that one right there get all kinds of people fired up. Especially under the previous administration. See, God never said, be in agreement with their policies. He said, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. When you speak of leaders, God's love should be coming out of your mouth. And I can remember when Barack Obama was the president, and I would talk about praying for him, and I would declare, I love him. I mean, sometimes people acted like I just said, I married the devil or something. It was weird. I'm not talking about Kathy. I'm talking about... Okay, I don't want to get that irritating, all right? And when I said things like, you know, if I had a chance to go to the White House and sit down and meet with him and talk with him, I would do it. And then some people, they thought I was nuts. I would never do that. Why? I'm not walking into the throne room of the devil. It's not the throne room of the devil. It's the White House. And if I'd have had the chance to sit down with him and let God's love pour through me and touch him, I would have done it. I'd have jumped on it. I mean, I would have been there. I would have offered to bring the meal. I would have done it. Because whether it's Barack Obama or any other politician, man, people, they said such horrible things about Hillary Clinton. Gee whiz, guys, you really want someone to burn in hell forever? Do you really want people to spend eternity in a lake of fire? Is that how cold your heart is? If so, man, I've got some concerns about you. That whole thing about forgive so you'll be forgiven? Don't mouth off at me. Don't send me your emails. Well, you did that. No. God said pray for them. He said, pray for them. And it doesn't matter who the president is. You're going to have Christians fuss and complain, bellyache. It doesn't matter who they are.
Well, I can't stand his policy about, you know what?
I love that man. How can you say that? It's easy. Watch. I love that man. Well, Brother Martin, I don't even know if you're saved anymore. No, I am saved. That's why I love that man. And that's why I can love him. I'm concerned about you. Because you see, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's good and acceptable. It's good and acceptable. It's, that means the opposite is not good and it's unacceptable. And then he says, you know, do this so you can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That doesn't mean the government leaders are going to guarantee you that kind of life. It means you're doing that which is good and acceptable in the sight of God, and He moves in your life for you to walk in the peace that passes all understanding. When you are at odds with God and His desires for people, guess what? You're the one that's messing up your life, not the government leaders. It's you. So if you want to be an irritating Christian, refuse to criticize government leaders. Next time you're around a bunch of believers, they start wagging their tongues about, you know, the president or the senator or the governor or the mayor. I don't care. Just say, boy, praise God. I praise God for that person. I love that person. And just, I mean, for a few moments, there's going to be this, like, silence as people look at you, wonder, you know, what you've been drinking, smoking. But see, you can say, I thank God for that person. You know why? Because that person has the potential to live for Jesus, because Jesus died for that person. You think God's going to say, I hate that person? Seriously? Jesus died for that person. You know what God's going to say? I love them. Yeah, but God, don't you know what they... Oh, I know what's going on, but I love that person. I love that person, and my arms are outstretched to that person. I'm trying to reach that person with salvation because Jesus shed His blood for that person. Well, if God's arms are outstretched to them, and if His heart is beating for them, then for crying out loud, I better get in line with His heart. So if you want to be an irritating Christian, speak poorly of your government leaders. No, yeah, if you want to be an irritating Christian, no, what did I say? If you want to be an irritating Christian, speak lovingly of your government leaders, okay?
If you want to be an irritating Christian, confuse people with your sermons.
Okay, turn over. Next one. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Every now and then after a sermon, Kathy will tell me, you know, you said such and such in your sermon. I did not. Get thee behind me. Sure enough, I said it. You know. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That literally means every aspect of your life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now turn over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 51. Suppose ye, this is Jesus speaking, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. See, what in the world is this all about? All right. How to be an irritating Christian. Number 6. Refuse to compromise for the sake of keeping peace. Refuse to compromise for the sake of keeping peace. Do you realize when you compromise for the sake of keeping peace, all you're doing is increasing the level of spiritual strife? What I mean is, when you compromise, you're creating a disruption in the flow of God's love, grace, mercy, truth, will, anointing, etc., and so forth. When you compromise, you never compromise for the sake of keeping peace. Somebody in your group tells a filthy joke, don't sit there and laugh at it. Just don't. Do not become a chameleon. You say, what's a chameleon? You blend in with everything that's going on around you. And too many Christians do that, and I've witnessed it. Don't become a chameleon. Stand your ground. That doesn't mean that you have to, you know, be rude. It just means that you don't compromise. You just flat out don't compromise. I don't want to watch that kind of stuff on TV. I don't want to go to those kind of movies. I don't want to listen to that particular song. I mean, there are certain songs. Look, I just, confession. You know, I've always liked rock music. And there were certain groups that I liked more than others. Now, one of those groups, I'll just tell you, one of those groups was AC/DC. I know some of you are thinking, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. One of those groups was AC/DC. I mean, anyway. Now, I know their songs were dirty and drunky and girly and all this other kind of, but they had a couple of songs that I flat out did not like. One was Highway to Hell. I mean, you got to be a nut to sing that song. I'm on a highway. It's like, what? And then there was another song called Hell's Bells. And in that song, there's a phrase that talks about Satan's going to get you. Hell's Bells. You know, it's like, what? No. I don't care if it does have a good rock sound to it. No. I draw the line. Okay, now I'm just using that as a very simple... No, I don't drive around all day listening to AC. Wow! Thunderstruck! Wow! Yeah! No. Kathy's shaking her head. The point I'm making is this. Even when I listened to a lot of that stuff, and that was like, but there were some aspects about that I just didn't like. As Christians, there's supposed to be a whole lot more stuff we don't like. Amen. And I mean a whole lot more stuff we don't like. Don't compromise for the sake of keeping peace. Just don't. Next one, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How to be an irritating Christian, number 7. Press deeper and deeper into God. The result is that just your presence will make compromisers, backsliders, and lukewarm Christians uncomfortable. Just being there. Press so deeply into God that His presence is strong on you. And when you get around those other Christians, they're not going to be comfortable. In fact, the more you press deeper into God, you're probably not going to get as many invitations for fellowship. They're not even going to tell you why. Rejoice in it. Just rejoice in it. Because if they don't want to be around you, that means you're having an impact. Now, granted, if you're obnoxious about your testimony, you understand what I'm saying. Some Christians are obnoxious about serving Jesus. And they just, anyway. When you press deeper into God, His presence will be really strong on you, and you don't have to, you just don't have to preach at everybody. Just like Jesus that time, He's standing up preaching in church, and there's a guy in the congregation, had a devil. He stands up.
What do you have to do with that, Jesus? We know you're the Son of God, blah, blah, blah.
In the middle of it. Why? Because Jesus irritated that devil. Well, see, you can irritate people when you press deeper into God just because you exist. Just being alive. Next one. Turn over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Pick it up in verse 41, talking here about Jesus. It said, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days," meaning when the feast was over, "as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" How to be an irritating Christian, number 8, be about your father's business. Be about your father's business. What is your father's business? What's his will for your life? Be about your father's business. Be about your father's business. Too many Christians don't even know what their father's business is. Well, I go to church. You mean there's more? Well, I put money in the offering plate. You mean there's more? Yeah. Yeah. There's 6 more days of the week. Yeah, there's more. Be about your father's business. Be about your father's business. If you don't know what your father's business is, ask him, "Father, what's your business for me?" You know, in a company, everybody has a different responsibility. They do different things within the structure of that organization. Well, guess what? You're a member of the body of Christ. Or you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. Or you're a family member in the household of God. In other words, you play a role. Okay, Father, what is your role for me? What is your business for me? I need to be about your business. Because you see, when you be about your Father's business, it's going to begin to separate you from those who are not about their father's business. And eventually that becomes an irritation. You'll be called, "Why, he's just too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Why, he's just too holy. He's too holy for the rest of us." Be about your father's business. And this leads to the last one we'll cover today. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Verse 25, "And there went great multitudes with him," Jesus, "and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Verse 33, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." How to be an irritating Christian. Number 9, sell out to Jesus and become his disciple. You will irritate all kinds of people, including family members. I know that I've been an irritation to family. It's been accused, "Well, he cares more about church than he does his own family." It's like, okay, well, let's put this in secular terms. This is my job. Okay, I work every Sunday. I work every Wednesday night. Okay, in fact, on Sunday, I work a split shift. Now, I don't look at it as work. This, it's a joy. But if you want to be an irritating Christian, you sell out to Jesus and you become his disciple. Because what that means is your relationship with him is more important than your relationship with any human on earth. And your relationship with him is more important to you than even what you would like to do.
But I really like listening to every single AC/DC song.
That's just an example. No, I'm not pushing AC/DC CDs here. Okay. You guys understand what I'm saying. When you become his disciple, most Christians will not understand you. They will not understand why you're living the way you do. I'll guarantee you, there are Christians who would criticize the Legos for moving here.
Well, can't you find no church up here in Canada?
Well, they don't talk like that up in Canada.
Can't you find a church up here in Canada, eh?
In fact, if I remember right, didn't the customs agent ask you about that? What, there aren't any churches in Canada? If they were, we wouldn't be going. No, it's what God, even if there are churches in Canada, it's what God wants, to be a disciple. When you're a disciple, a lot of times your family will not understand unless they too are disciples. Then they'll understand and they'll rejoice in you being that committed to Jesus Christ. But a lot of Christians will not understand it at all. They flat out will not. And family will not understand it. See, you've got to be willing. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you've got to be willing to take all kinds of heat and criticism from your family, from your Christians' family. You know, I'm talking about like mom, dad, brother, sister, and all this. Okay, that family, if the whole family's born again, you've got to be willing to take all kinds of criticism for being a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have to be willing. He's going to help you find the right balance in your life. And if you want to be irritating, be a disciple. All the other disciples, they will understand. Those who aren't, they won't understand. But those who are striving to be disciples, they'll see you as an example. Remember, the Apostle Paul wrote, those of us who are living as Christ, I'm paraphrasing, he said, you follow us as an example. Follow me as I follow Christ. Look at one last passage to close this off. John chapter 15. And this is an admonition from Jesus. Actually, it's an encouragement, if you will, to let you know, don't be surprised when you irritate people. In John chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus said, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, if you were of compromising Christians, if you were of lukewarm Christians, if you were of backslidden Christians, the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now I know he's speaking primarily of criticism from the lost. But this concept is true in the body of Christ as well. A lot of people are born again, but they really do not know God. They're born again. They are. They're going to spend eternity in heaven, but they really don't know God. Being born again does not mean that you truly know your Father. You know, when a baby is born, the baby really doesn't know mom or dad. I mean, it might recognize voices, but as that baby grows, it begins to understand, okay, this is mommy and that's daddy. Okay, I understand that. And that relationship and that bond becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. Well, see, when we first get born again, we're babes in Christ. So we know we have a father, but it doesn't mean we know our Father. And Jesus is saying, look, you just get it settled. Even the people who are supposed to know God, The Jews? I mean, granted they weren't born again, but they could know him as much as possible. Even the people who were supposed to know him, they came against me. And you guys need to understand, if they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. But if they knew their father, they wouldn't do this to you. Think about that. Christians who truly know their father, they're not going to be irritated by these things that we've shared today. They're going to understand. And they, like you, will be irritating Christians. We need to be far more offensive than we are. Now, you understand what I mean by that. We need to be far more offensive by virtue of just living for Jesus in every aspect of our lives. And when that happens, there will be an offense. In the Bible, it talks about the gospel being an offense. Truth is an offense to those who are not truly living in it. So, our goal is to be an irritating Christian. Praise God.